Most people look for spring, but I prefer to listen for it. The rich notes of the ovenbird ringing out in our forests tell us for certain that spring is here to stay. The ovenbird's magnificent contralto makes it the Linda Ronstadt of the bird world. It belts out its simple tune with all of Ronstadt's vigor, vibrancy, and volume. John Burroughs, a famous nature writer of the late 1800s and early 1900s, is credited with being the first to translate the song as teacher, teacher, teacher. And although the interpretation has helped countless birdwatchers recognize the song, the device's value is questionable, since most ovenbirds clearly accent the second rather than the first syllable. Perhaps that's the origin of one of the ovenbird's most common nicknames, the accenter. Most birds that sing in the understory have easily heard songs of moderately low frequencies, but the ovenbird's song is also unusually loud, perhaps because it defends an unusually large piece of land. The average size of an ovenbird's territory is about 2.5 acres, over twice the size of a song sparrow's territory, and about 8 times the size of a robin's. I'm not exactly sure why ovenbirds need so much land, since they eat a wide variety of insects, grubs, worms, and even some fruits and seeds. But then again, a pair of chickadees defends a territory over 5 times the size of the ovenbird's. In comparison, the ovenbird's needs seem downright modest. The rich ringing of the ovenbird's song is inescapable, yet the bird itself escapes most people's notice, hiding within rather than on the edges of the forest. I know several birders with fairly substantial life lists who have never seen a live ovenbird, and many birders have seen them only on migration when there are no leaves on the trees to hide them. Even a glimpse is worth the trouble. Ovenbirds aren't gaudy like other warblers. They have an understated beauty, with a rich olive brown back, snow-white underside spotted with gleaming black, white eye ring, and orange cap outlined in black. Unfortunately, brown-headed cowbirds are more skillful than we at locating ovenbirds and following them to their nests, and have had a devastating effect on ovenbird numbers. Cowbirds don't enter into deep forests, being open country and edge birds, but where forests are fragmented by developments, clear cuts, or even just logging roads, cowbirds find easy pickings. Snakes also have an easy time locating ovenbird nests, and eat large numbers of eggs and nestlings. If they grow up, migrating ovenbirds face another terrible hazard, lighted radio and television transmission towers. About 20% of all migrating birds found dead under these structures are ovenbirds. The dead carcasses littering the ground beneath lights simplifies the work of ornithologists who study migration and also bird weights. Ovenbirds weigh anywhere between 0.5 ounce and 1 ounce. The reason for the large spread is that so many of them are weighed on migration when their bodies are laden with excess fat to fuel their flight. Ovenbirds long ago perfected the system of letting their weight go up and down on their yo-yo diet. Despite all the factors that shorten their life expectancy, banding returns include at least 3 ovenbirds that survived for over 7 years and 1 that lived to be over 8. Whenever we find one, we extend it the Vulcan wish to live long and prosper. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.